Welcome to Holy Trinity Headington Quarry. My name is Laura Byron Scott and I'm the vicar here, and I'm joined remotely by our associate priest, Rob Gilbert. We are delighted to broadcast this service in collaboration with Radio Charwell, our local hospital radio station, following in the footsteps of our most famous parishioner, C.S. Lewis, who used radio broadcasting to communicate the Christian faith beyond the walls of the church. Our hope is that through these audio services, all listening in can draw strength, comfort, and peace at a time of so much fear and uncertainty. If you are listening at home, you might wish to light a candle as we begin. Try to sit still and peacefully. Remember that through the Holy Spirit, God meets us wherever we are. If you are listening in hospital as a patient, relative, or member of staff, join in as you can, or just let the words and music wash over you, and remember that you are safe in God's hands. If you would like to join in the words of the service, you can find an order of service on our website, www.hdhq.uk, under online services. There is also a virtual collection plate facility there if you would like to make a donation to support the work of our church. We begin with our parish prayer for this time of crisis. God of compassion, we offer up in prayer all who are affected by this outbreak. We pray for all healthcare workers and researchers, as well as all who are ill, all who have died, and the family members and friends who care for them. We pray for those whose livelihoods and income are threatened by the outbreak, and for all living in uncertainty. For wise decisions, increased compassion, and the recognition that all who are affected share a common humanity as children of the one God. We offer our prayers in the confidence that your perfect love casts out fear through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn is Thou Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. What God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us in penitence open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. Lord, have mercy. We have lived by the light of our own eyes as faithless and not believing. Christ, have mercy. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and also in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Also some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities." This was because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
We listen to a setting of Spirit of the Living God. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As human beings, we do not deal well with uncertainty. We naturally want to know what is happening in our lives and in the world around us in a way that we can predict and build our choices and decisions around. Higher levels of uncertainty easily lead to higher levels of stress and anxiety, which has become clear over these past weeks of living through the coronavirus pandemic. There is uncertainty about the virus itself, where exactly it came from, and whether we will ever be free of it. There is economic uncertainty about the future, with differing predictions for economic growth or contraction. There is moral uncertainty about whether certain actions are right or wrong. Sending children back to school, returning to the workplace, getting into a car to avoid public transport. All this uncertainty is hard to live with. Many of us were hoping for some certainty about the future when we listened eagerly to the Prime Minister's announcement last Sunday, but it is clear that the virus prevents this. All we can do is make our best guess and take each day as it comes. As someone who has spent many years studying, researching, and teaching philosophy, I can also say that there is a good side to uncertainty. When we are uncertain about something, whether it's the answer to a philosophical question or one of the forms of uncertainty surrounding this pandemic, we tend to treat the issue with openness and curiosity. We realise that we might be wrong and that we do not have it all worked out. We become aware that there is a limit to what we can know and that we might need to change our minds. These human qualities of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility are an important part of the study of philosophy. And they are not only available to a select few or a philosophical elite. The Greek philosopher Socrates would famously talk to anyone, believing that all human beings were capable of such qualities if asked the right questions. Sadly, the authorities of his day did not receive his ideas with the same openness. He was famously put to trial and executed, in part because this practice led the Athenian authorities to accuse him of introducing novel and potentially dangerous ideas. 4 centuries after the death of Socrates, the Apostle Paul also found himself on trial in Athens, which by then was one of the intellectual hubs of the Roman Empire. As the birthplace of philosophy, and perhaps as a testament to the influence of Socrates, we hear in the book of Acts that the Athenians have developed these qualities of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility. They would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Although a deeply religious society, as Paul points out, they were prepared to accept that they didn't know everything, that there could be other ways to understand God, and they even constructed an altar to an unknown God, just in case. This reminds me of something called Pascal's wager, the idea that we should hedge our bets towards the idea that God exists, just in case this turns out to be true. The streams of Greek philosophy we hear about in the reading had what we would now call coping strategies for living with uncertainty. For the Epicureans, the answer was to find pleasure in the small things we can control as a way of coping with the big things that we can't, like enjoying a beautiful walk in the sunshine, even if the world around you seems to be falling apart. For the Stoics, it was about building resilience, remaining steadfast and calm in the face of uncertainty, epitomised today in the classic British saying, "Keep calm and carry on." These streams of ancient philosophy may offer wisdom for our present age of uncertainty. And this philosophical spirit of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility also created the perfect environment for news of Paul's seemingly strange teaching about the good news of Jesus and the resurrection to spread and take root in the ancient world. Paul explains that this teaching is not as strange as it seems. The Athenians are already prepared to accept that there is an unknown God. Their own poets speak of a God in whom we live and move and have our being. This provides an opening for Paul to explain that the God of Christianity is not just one deity among others, but the God who created the world and everything in it, the one who gives life and breath and all things, the one indeed in whom we live and move and have our being. Paul picks up that in their search for an unknown God, the Athenians are still searching for something more, and his lived experience of Christianity enables him to minister to their searching. This rings true to my own experience. I found that no amount of philosophical study could satisfy my soul's longing for something more. Ultimately, only God could. A less famous but more profound saying of the philosopher Pascal is this: "There is an infinite abyss within the human soul, reserved for God alone." I believe that it is only through knowing God in Christ that this abyss can be filled. In providing the identity of the unknown God, you would think that Paul is closing down this spirit of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility. But Christianity at its best is not a dogmatic religion that insists on certainty. It is a relational religion that invites us to wonder, to question, to remain open to what we don't know as well as what we do. A famous work in the mystical tradition of Christianity is called The Cloud of Unknowing, precisely because, as many Christians discover, the more we delve into the mystery of knowing God, the more we discover just how much is still unknown. We realise that it is possible to be both deeply religious and also prepared to live with uncertainty. But this is not to say that Christianity is just one philosophy among others. Far from it. The novel claim of Christianity to be a religion of love is what makes it stand out. To their surprise, the Athenians discovered that their unknown God was in fact a relational God, a personal God we can connect to in prayer, a God who has revealed himself in the person of Jesus and who has demonstrated in practical, costly terms just how far a human life filled with love can lead. The new commandment Jesus leaves his disciples is this: love one another as I have loved you. In Jesus, God's infinite love becomes concrete and real, and we are asked to follow in this way of love however we can, by keeping the commandment to love one another, enabling God to live in us and through us. Among all the uncertainty caused by the coronavirus pandemic, there has still been this great clarity: that human beings fundamentally are created for love. We have all noticed a spirit of love moving among us, in the selflessness of medical staff and carers of all types, in the neighbourliness and community spirit on our streets, in the generosity of time and resources given by so many and in countless other ways. When we listened to the Prime Minister's announcement last Sunday, I'm sure most of us were not all that concerned about when we could return to work. We wanted to know when we could finally see our loved ones, our family and friends in person. This reveals to me that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, is hard at work all around us. May we, like Paul, have the courage to point out that this Spirit is the work not of an unknown God, but a God we can know and trust, and a God who provides the spiritual grounding to lead us through this time of uncertainty. Amen. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you have made yourself known to us in Jesus and in our own lives, where we experience blessing and grace and where we come to understanding. In our dealings with others and our worship of you, you have made yourself known to us, and in different ways you make yourself known to all people. We thank you that you have made yourself known to us as our Father, and we pray that we may continue to know you in our lives throughout our days and as your loving children. Lord, hear us. Loving God, we pray for your church throughout the world, seeking to live as you have called us to live and to make known your presence on earth. We pray for Laura, our vicar, for Jonathan, our new archdeacon, Stephen, our bishop, Justin, our archbishop, and for Pope Francis. We pray that your inspiring power will renew their sense of calling and their faith, and empower our own sense of calling and our faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, in every land, that you will reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. Lord, hear us. Loving God, you commanded us to love one another, and so we pray that we will all our lives seek to love as you have loved us, abiding in your love with every one of our sisters and brothers. We pray for this country, for her leaders, and among them for the Prime Minister and other members of the government, for the leader of the opposition, and all those who serve in Parliament, in local government, in the civil service, in the legal profession, in the armed services, and the emergency services. We thank you for the spirit of service in so many people. We pray that that spirit will find fulfillment in the doing of good, the making of peace, the establishment of safety, the protection of the vulnerable and needy, and the well-being of all. Lord, hear us. Loving God, we pray especially for those whose spirit of service has made them doctors, or nurses, or physiotherapists, or paramedics, community nurses, workers in care homes. We thank you for their skilled and compassionate service towards the sick, the frail, and the dying. We thank you for their courage, and we pray that they will be protected from undue danger and risk. We pray especially for those who are treating and accompanying sufferers from coronavirus infection. We pray too for key workers whose spirit of service keeps shops open, children educated, and whose commitment to the spirit of truth is revealing new science and new vaccines and therapies to find a way through the current pandemic and into a better future. Lord, hear us. Loving God, we thank you for the different ways in which we love one another, within our families, as friends, as neighbours, in the communities in which we live. We pray especially for loved ones and friends far away and nearby who we are unable to meet, visit, travel to be with. In our uncertainty and doubt, in our anxiety and fear, remind us that the love we share for one another will last forever in you, and keep us hopeful for the time to come when we can meet loved ones once again. Lord, hear us. Loving God, we pray for those who are sick and suffering at this time, among them especially for those suffering with and from coronavirus infection, at home and in hospital. Among them, we pray for those being treated with intensive care and on ventilators. We pray for those suffering from other serious illnesses too, from cancer, from heart disease, with dementia, at home and in hospital. We pray for those suffering from mental illness, some for the first time, for some newly worsened. We pray for all who need healing and to be made whole again. Lord, hear us. Loving God, in Jesus' resurrection, you assure us that lives of love live forever. We pray for those who have died, especially people who have died recently in hospital or at home, in care homes, in hospices. We pray too for all our loved ones who have died and those who blessed us in their lives and helped us become the people we are. We thank you for the lives that have ended, and we commend them to you, who in Jesus shows just how far a human life filled with love can lead. Lord, hear us. And so, loving God, we rejoice in the fellowship of Mary, the mother of our Lord, St. Paul, and the saints of every age, as we ask you to accept our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the risen Christ be always with you. We sing or listen to our next hymn, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." be present, Lord Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest, and make yourself known in the breaking of bread. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise, and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Rejoicing in God's new creation, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. the body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Our communion anthem is a setting of words from our gospel reading by the composer Thomas Tallis, If Ye Love Me. Let us pray. God, our Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, gives the water of eternal life, may we thirst for you, the spring of life and source of goodness, through him who is alive and reigns now and forever. Our final hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Service. Radio Charwell.